It's 2 o'clock, and this is Barbara Ridenour with the Friday edition, July 22nd, 2016, of the Decatur Herald and Review. Excuse me. We'll start on the front page with corn sweat. Shares some humidity blame. Chicago, the Midwest's first dangerous bout of heat and humidity this summer, is partly to blame on the moisture piped out of the ground and into the atmosphere by the increasing acreage of corn crops reaching peak maturity, meteorologists and atmospheric researchers say. That muggy mist, jokingly called corn sweat, gets blown around the country, even enveloping more distant urban areas such as Chicago and Minneapolis. The phenomenon, long familiar to weather geeks, less so to the rest of us, spawned playful banter on social media this week as heat indexes topped the 100-degree mark. Here's a look at the steamy situation and the role of golden ears of corn. Evapo what? Evapotranspiration. Let's see if I've got that word right. Evapotranspiration, the technical term for corn sweat. The American Meteorological Society defines it as the combined processes through which water is transferred to the atmosphere from open water and ice surfaces, bare soil, and vegetation that make up the Earth's surface. Basically, when corn crops mature in late July, they act like billions of straws, drawing up soil moisture. It beads up on vast leafy canopies and is carried off by warmer air. Much of the humidity enveloping the region this week is siphoned off the Gulf of Mexico, but a measurable contribution comes from corn and soybean crops, say researchers like Ken Kunkel, a professor of atmospheric sciences at North Carolina State University. It's a real thing. Calling it sweat is interesting, he said with a laugh. I never heard that particular term before. Blowing in the wind. Once that added moisture from the corn belt is picked up in the air, it spreads fast to places such as Chicago. Kunkel took part in a modeling study that found crop moisture most likely increased humidity levels during a 1995 heat wave blamed for hundreds of deaths there. Chicago is affected by it as much as if you're in the middle of a cornfield in central Illinois, he said. Why now? Corn acreage has rapidly increased in the United States. More than 94 million acres of corn were planted this year, an increase of 7% from 2015, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. That's the third highest corn acreage since 1944. Soybeans, which also contribute to humidity levels, are at a record high acreage, too. Hashtag corn sweat. Jokesters have taken to Twitter to grouse about corn sweat, with some of them calling it the polar vortex of the summer. But outside the exchange in Chicago, where the corn futures and agricultural commodities are traded, analyst Sharon Pete was not breaking a sweat Thursday as she scratched away at a crossword puzzle in the midday heat. It could be true, yeah, who knows, right? She said, adding with a smile that it doesn't change the way she feels about those delicious, sweet kernels. In local news, Omnitrax looks to develop industrial business along rail line. Decatur. The company, with plans to begin managing a short line railroad northeast of Decatur, sees an opportunity to attract industrial businesses to the area that are interested in utilizing the rail capabilities. Omnitrax is proposing plans to establish an industrial park in the area surrounding the renamed Decatur Central Railroad, running approximately 13 miles between Cisco and Decatur along Illinois 48. The privately held transportation service company that is an affiliate of the Bro Group announced on Wednesday a joint venture to begin managing later this year the short line railway Top Flight Grain Cooperative currently owns. The rail line connects the Top Flight facility in Cisco with plants at Archer Daniels Midland Company, Tate & Lyle, and other processing companies in and around Macon County. This was a natural place to look because of the transportation logistics, OmniTrack CEO Kevin Shuba said Thursday during an interview with the Herald and Review. "We think there are a lot of opportunities here for us to create success in this market. With a large company to anchor the development," Shuba said its suppliers could follow suit and locate nearby, even if those businesses don't need direct access to the rail service. "It would be a great way of spurring economic development," he said. "They're going to bring jobs," Shuba said. "We need to create a magnet and turn up the power to get more here." OmniTrax has a customer base of approximately 350 businesses, including 150 Fortune 500 companies that Shuba said it can talk with about the level of interest in locating operations in the Decatur area. "The development will be marketed nationally," he said. "It opens up a lot of marketing opportunities for us," Shuba said. "We want them to understand the opportunities and see what they want to try to do next. We want to bring them to our railroad." Companies with manufacturing plants utilizing rail tend to remain invested in the area, Shuba said. "They're going to be here for a long time," Shuba said. "The economic growth could be similar to what has happened with other developments OmniTrax has been involved with constructing," Shuba said. He said Decatur would be one of its four master industrial parks and fit geographically in the Midwest to go along with access to the Gulf of Mexico at the Port of Brownsville in Texas, in the southeast at the Savannah Gateway Industrial Hub in Georgia, and the Great Western Industrial Park in Windsor, Colorado. "Our success there helps us believe we'll be successful in other areas," he said. To make it all work as anticipated in Decatur, Shuba said OmniTrax is looking to acquire a sufficient amount of land, likely between 200 and 400 acres. Decatur meets much of the criteria OmniTrax is seeking when looking for an area to develop, he said. It has access to three Class I railroads, not just two like many areas. In addition, he said it has a highly skilled labor force, welcoming feel, and low cost for utilities. "Businesses want to make sure they fit within a community," he said. "We want to target areas with a business-friendly climate." Decatur has previously been able to deliver the workforce needs for companies, such as what happened last year when Convey Health Solutions needed more than 300 job openings filled within a few months, said Ryan McCrady, Economic Development Corporation of Decatur and Macon County president. "I'm a true believer Decatur and Macon County can step up to what is needed," McCrady said. Interest in Decatur could come from businesses looking to avoid congestion in the Chicago area, which Shuba said is becoming an increasingly significant concern for many companies. "Chicago can be difficult to get around," Shuba said, "because of the congestion in Chicago. A lot of companies are looking for alternatives." The possibility of the OmniTrax development is the type of benefit Decatur economic development officials have been trying to highlight through the creation of the Midwest Inland Port. The concept was among the items presented Wednesday during the Business Development Forum, the EDC organized at the Decatur Civic Center. The local stakeholders the proposal has been discussed with are plugged into helping make it happen, said Larry Altenbaumer, executive director of the Midwest Inland Port. "Decatur is showing how it can come together to grow its own success stories," Mayor Julie Moore Wolf said. "We're expecting great things out of the partnership," Moore Wolf said. "I'm excited to see all the great things come." The benefits of the area's transportation capabilities are starting to be realized as Decatur becomes more widely recognized as a freight rail hub, Altenbaumer said. "A direct import lane into Decatur has been opened," he said. "We've proven it does work," Altenbaumer said. "Limitless opportunities are being created throughout the Midwest Inland Port." The focus now shifts toward adding businesses of a significant size to locate in the Decatur area. Altenbaumer said. A unique strategic development team is in place in an effort to make that happen, he said. Archer Daniels Midland Company, which has opened an intermodal rail facility for other companies to use, sees working with Omnitrax as creating a new platform for growth, said Dennis Whalen, ADM Vice President for Intermodal Transportation. It will further enhance the success of the Midwest Inland Port, Whalen said. It creates many possibilities for Central Illinois. The opportunity for the community is bigger than previously imagined since the Midwest Inland Port was introduced in 2013, McCready said. Putting the pieces together is a much bigger deal than is starting to gain a good traction. We have a tremendous potential for the community, McCready said. He said more work needs to be done, but progress is being made to develop prospects in the right direction. In state and regional front page news, hackers hit state voter database. Springfield. The Illinois State Board of Elections online voter registration system remained down Thursday afternoon in the wake of a cyber attack last week. The attack on the statewide Illinois voter registration system occurred July 12th, and the system was shut off July 13th as a precaution once the board realized the severity of the attack, according to a message sent to local election authorities. Hackers exploited a chink in the armor in one small data field in the online registration system, said Ken Menzel, the board's general counsel. We're in the process of analyzing the tracks left by the attack, Menzel said. We're still not ready to say exactly what might have been gotten into. The registration database is a frequent target of cyber attacks, he said. But this is the first time that we're aware of that anybody's gotten into anything, not for lack of trying. Menzel said the board is confident that no voter information in the database was altered and will follow the proper notification procedures if any personal information was compromised. McLean County Clerk Kathy Michael on Wednesday night posted a copy of a message attributed to Kyle Thomas, director of the Election Board's Voting and Registration Systems Division, on her Facebook page. It reads in part, quote, "Hackers were able to retrieve a number of voter records. We are in the process of determining the exact number of voter records and specific names of all the individuals affected. Because of the complex methods used to access the data, this may take 10 to 15 days," end quote. Thomas's statements also noted that the board believes the attack was the work of foreign hackers. Alex Hyde, Chief Research Officer for cybersecurity startup Security Scorecard, wrote in an email that the type of attack launched against the State Board of Elections database is not a rare occurrence. Attacks against government databases and voter registration databases are commonplace and are happening with increasing frequency as vast amounts of data becomes digitalized and stored online, Hyde said, noting that a 2014 hack of the federalhealthcare.gov website and the 2015 discovery by a white hat researcher of multiple exposed databases of voter registration information in the U.S. and Mexico. The bureaucracy of government is the biggest obstacle to rapid response to information security incidents, he said. Attackers do not abide by rules and regulations, whereas those tasked with defense have to operate within their own frameworks. What's happening today? Events, dancing, open Western dancing and potluck dinner, 7 to 11 p.m. at Prairieland Dance Club, Iliopolis. It's $5. There's a free potluck dinner at 7:15, etc. Effingham Jam, 5 to midnight, downtown Effingham. Amateur barbecue competition, live music from Kilbourn Alley Blues Band and Blind Revel, a wine and craft beer tasting, and the Neon Nights 5K fun run and a 1 mile memory walk. Evening campfire, 8 to 10 p.m., Fort Daniel Conservation Area, Decatur. $2 for family, or $2 for a family, $10. Mattoon Bagel Fest, 1 to 11 p.m. in Peterson Park, Mattoon. Carnival and vendors. Concert on main stage at 8 p.m. Open play volleyball, 8 to 10 p.m., Decatur Family YMCA. Non-members, $5. Open to adults, 18 and older, for all skill levels. Shake the Lake. Ladies' Night, 7 p.m., Nelson Park Rock Garden, Decatur. 7 p.m., Haley Witters. 7 p.m., Tara Thompson. 8:30 p.m. Exhibits, Blue Connection, Decatur. The Large-Scale Painting of Emma Morrison. Chevrolet Hall of Fame Museum, Decatur, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Ages 13 and older, $9. Ages 3 to 12, $3. Decatur Airport Gallery, 5 to 10 p.m., the works of Jessica Disbrow. Decatur Public Library, 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., Gallery 510 and 50 by 50. Recovering the Classics, Millikan Student Work, Upstairs Gallery, Decatur Public Library. The artworks of Sharon Zimmerman. Erlinson Art Gallery, Richland Community College, can be viewed by appointment. Gallery 510 Arts Guild, Decatur, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. The Photography of Doug Bergeron. Macon County History Museum and Prairie Village, Decatur, 1 to 4 p.m., adults $2, ages 12 and younger $1, children free with paid adults per child on Wednesday. Madden Art Center, Decatur, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., the Ann Lloyd Gallery, International Art Experience, Cuba. Okay, let's see. Nightlife, Dr. LD Karaoke, DJ at Curly's, Decatur, 9 p.m. Fabulous Ho Dads, 8:30 p.m. at the VFW Post 99 in Decatur. Heather and Marty at 8 p.m., Tuscan Hills Winery, Effingham. Jed Adam Band, 8 p.m., Knights of Columbus Hall, Effingham. Melanie Devaney, 7 p.m., Village Wine and Gifts, Effingham. On stage, What Happened After Once Upon a Time, 7 to 8 p.m., Chautauqua Auditorium, Shelbyville. All Shook Up, 8 p.m., Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan. Seniors Bingo, 1 p.m., Decatur, Macon County Senior Center. Health, Blood Drive, noon to 6 p.m., Decatur Blood Donation Center. Mobile Mammography, 10 a.m., Sarah Bush Lincoln Clinic in Arthur. Support groups, Alcoholics Anonymous, Back to Basics, 8 a.m., Central United Methodist Church, Decatur. Alcoholics Anonymous, Road to Recovery, noon to 1 p.m., St. John's Episcopal Church, Decatur. Narcotics Anonymous, noon, Church of the Living God, Temple 46 of Decatur. And Narcotics Anonymous, I'm having trouble with that word, 8 p.m., AFFAS in Decatur. Tomorrow's highlight, Christmas in July, 1 p.m., Macon County Extension Office in Decatur. In public safety, there's a new program to train for worst-case scenario. Nonprofit offers response training. Decatur. With rising national anxiety over mass shootings, a local organization hopes to prepare companies and their employees for a worst-case scenario. The nonprofit corporation known as DART, or Domestic Active Response Training, has launched in Decatur with the promise to provide active shooter response training programs that can discourage or contain an active shooter until police arrive. The plan has been in the works for more than a year as the nation comes to grips with more high-profile mass shootings, said DART founder Brett Mason. Our world has changed, and sadly it is not for the better, he said. The program will open to organizations who are interested to sponsor in sponsoring employees to participate in the 30-hour training program that covers topics such as close-quarter self-defense, emergency medical treatment, and response tactics. Following the completion of the training, the organization would receive a DART logo decal to display at the entrance of its facility in hopes of discouraging those with malicious intent from entering. Training for the program will be provided through Midwest SWAT Academy in Mount Zion, and organizations will be asked to provide a $600 contribution per trainee to offset the costs of the program. Only concealed carry permit holders will be allowed to undergo training, and an Illinois State Police screening will be done on all prospective trainees. The idea of creating a nonprofit was to provide a more community-based organization that was not just about one company looking to make a buck, said Mark Scranton, president of the Academy. He said the goal of the company was to create something supported by local law enforcement and businesses. Officials from the Decatur Police Department, Macon County Sheriff's, and State's Attorney Offices have thrown their support behind DART. Anything we can do to help protect the citizens of this community will support that, State's Attorney Jay Scott said. Among those from the private sector to throw their support behind the idea of DART was Mark Chevron, the former director of corporate security at ADM. He noted companies, big and small, share a similar concern for the safety of their employees and customers. My biggest nightmare was workplace violence, someone shooting up a place and there would be no response, he said. I think this is going to be very good for the community. Those looking for more information on the program can visit the DART site at www.darttraining.com or email Mason at darttraining@comcast.net. Rock On! First gig starts musicians off right in Recreation, Decatur. On the first day of First Gig Rock and Roll Camp, many of the adolescent musicians are shy and self-conscious about performing. By the fourth day, the combination of new friends, instruction from adult musicians, and growing confidence has worked its magic. Formed into bands, the campers have learned multiple songs and are ready to step into the recording studio at Eisenhower High School. To see the level that they started at on Monday to where they are now, they are killing it, said Graham Ween of the adult musicians serving as a band leader this week. A total of 33 kids signed up for the camp, which is affiliated with the Decatur Park District and coordinated by local musician Mikey Schoenemann. Now in its third year, the camp drew 5 drummers, 11 vocalists, 4 bass players, and 13 guitarists, all between the ages of 10 and 17. After demonstrating their abilities on the first day, the kids are separated into bands. With their skill levels distributed to make an even playing field, the bands get to record their songs and even pose for an album photo. This year they are going off-grid. Going off-grid, the Rubies, off-key, and Children of the Kale. Francis Helton, 14, is a 3-year veteran of the program whose charisma shone Thursday as she and 2 other vocalists belted out a cover of Rock Show by Hailstorm. She said her voice has developed immensely, in part because of her experience at the camp. The friendships you build, the feeling of accomplishment afterward. You get the full rock star experience, she said. Isaac Bundy, 15, said he's been playing guitar for almost 8 years, but there's still a lot he wants to learn. One thing he picked up this week, his first at the camp, has been how to play in a band with multiple guitarists. I wanted to get out and play, and this was kind of the first time I've ever been able to get out and play with people, he said. Counselors and Schoenemann have plenty of stories about continuing effects of the program. Kids start becoming Facebook friends with each other after camp is over. Those who return over multiple years often come back with more developed skills as well as more confidence. They're not just friends, they're bandmates now, said Emma Sneerly, the vocal counselor, and they're definitely acting like it and they're supporting each other. If you go, the culmination excuse me, of First Gig Rock and Roll Camp will be a concert at noon Saturday at Eisenhower High School. Doors open at 11 a.m. Suggested donation is $5. Briefs for Friday, July 22nd. Library Board. Kyria Rogers was sworn in as the newest member of the Decatur Public Library Board of Trustees on Thursday. Rogers, Director of Special Projects for the Macon County State's Attorney's Office, was appointed to the board by the Decatur City Council last month. She replaces outgoing trustee Priscilla Palmer, who served 6 years. Mount Zion, movie postponed. Due to excessive heat, the Village of Mount Zion's Movie in the Park, scheduled for today in Fletcher Park, has been postponed. No future showing date has been determined. Decatur, assault arrest. A 27-year-old woman is being held in jail on a $10,000 bond on a charge of aggravated battery for allegedly grabbing a woman by the hair in a parking lot and battering her. At 2:17 a.m. Saturday, the 32-year-old victim told police she was walking through the lot at 1325 North 22nd Street when, excuse me, Bethany Schaefer approached her from behind and without warning took hold of her hair, said a probable cause affidavit by Decatur Patrol Officer Peter Hackelman. As Schaefer held onto her hair, she struck the victim with a closed fist and kicked her, mostly landing the blows to her head, she told police. She was struck by Schaefer about 20 times, which caused her to become dizzy and almost lose consciousness. Three of the victim's friends corroborated the victim's account of the incident. Schaefer was arrested by Special Deputy U.S. Marshals on Tuesday. She is due in court for her arraignment on Wednesday. Mattoon, man shot to death. A 22-year-old man died after being shot multiple times Wednesday evening in Greenup, according to Coles County Coroner Ed Schneiers. Eric M. Lavely died at 10:36 p.m. Wednesday after being taken from Greenup to the emergency room at Sarah Bush Lincoln Health Center, Schneiers said. The Illinois State Police are investigating the fatal shooting. Crime in courts. Decatur man jailed for endangering infant. Martez L. Cunningham, a 34-year-old Decatur man, was arrested on charges including endangering the life and health of a child for allegedly smashing electronic items on the floor with a 1-year-old child nearby. The child's mother told police that Cunningham came to her residence at 4:20 p.m. Wednesday and began arguing with her. When she told him to leave, he picked up her 32-inch TV set and smashed it on the floor. Martez then stomped on the TV with his foot to ensure it was destroyed, said a probable cause affidavit by Decatur Parole Officer Kyle Patton. Cunningham then grabbed her PlayStation, flung it to the floor, and stomped on it as well, Patton wrote. Cunningham followed that up by throwing down her home theater receiver and speakers. The total value of all the property was damaged exceeds $300. Two witnesses corroborated the story, which the victim told police. The victim and witnesses said the infant was crawling around on the floor during the incident. They all said when Martez was throwing the TV and PS3 down on the ground, the items landed in close proximity to the infant, placing him in danger of being seriously injured by the flying objects and debris. Cunningham was arrested about 4 hours after the incident is being held in the Macon County Jail on $6,000 bond pending his arraignment on Thursday. Now we'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review dated July 22nd, 2016. This is Barbara Ridenour. Please stay tuned.